For this teacher interview project, I was able to speak with three veteran teachers who work in an urban school. These three teachers have a combined 101 years of experience between them. I was also able to speak with the middle school behavioral specialist. I purposely interviewed three white male teachers to see if their answers and experiences mirrored each other, to see what the trends were and what they thought the trends were. Mr. B is a high school English teacher who has 28 years of teaching experience, 20 at the high school level, 7 at the middle school level, and 1 as a reading specialist. He said the majority of the behavioral issue that he has with students are in the hallways, dealing with language, and when he has to catch students vaping in the bathroom. Mr. B said he doesn't have a problem with behaviors in his class. I asked if is this just not the case, or how is that possible? And he said that if your content area is interesting and you can make it interesting, challenging, and if your students are engaged, they won't have time to be problematic in the class. Mr. B also said what is equally important is to know your students and ask them how they are doing and ask for personal feedback on his lessons to see if he's actually engaging and students are getting what he wants out of it. The question that I asked all three of these teachers and the behavioral specialist that I was most interested in is if they thought there's any trends in behavioral issues. And Mr. B, for example, said that kids really haven't changed much. The terminology and actions have changed a little, but overall they're pretty similar. He gave the example of how it has gone from smoking weed and cigarettes in the bathroom to, and he jokingly said, still smoking weed, but now it's vaping and e-cigarettes. The next teacher I interviewed is Mr. P, who has been a teacher for 30 years, 29 as a middle school biology teacher, and in between he was an assistant principal for the year before he said, yeah, administration's not for me, I just love being in the classroom and being a teacher. Mr. P said the only reason he sends students out for the classroom or writes a referral is if the student is being unsafe to themselves or other students in his classroom, which I thought was interesting that because it makes sense to me that if someone's being unsafe to send them out, but he was able to process with the majority of the students, he said. And I see this firsthand because he has some of the students who I work with in my EBD classroom in his classroom as a mainstream class. I asked Mr. P if his practices have changed over time with his years of teaching. He said, oh, for sure, yes. The social and emotional needs for my students come first. And when I first started, it was all about content, and which I believe is true for most teachers, but they feel like their content is the most important. That's why they get into teaching, to teach their content. But he said the emotional needs for their students have to come first, because when the students feel safe and welcome in your class, that's when you're able to truly introduce the content, and that's when they're actually going to be able to learn. He said if this doesn't happen, you're going to be just talking to brick walls. When I asked about the trends question again, Mr. P said he has noticed and that the mental health and anxiety issues in students and anxiety and depression has increased in students over the last couple years. And Mr. P says he tries to teach and incorporate coping strategies that may not always be taught. And he said conflict resolution plans and processing with students is really important to him. Mr. P also said he has really seen a trend growing in the refusal and just choosing to ignore directions over the last 3 to 5 years, he said, which I've kind of seen too. I haven't been a teacher of 30 years like Mr. P, but I can see the trend, especially working with the students I do, even though it's part of their disability, but the decision just to ignore and refuse to do work is a trend I kind of tend to see also. The next teacher I interviewed is Mr. G, who is retiring at the end of the school year. And he has worked for a teacher for 43 years, 23 at the current building. Mr. D teaches high school English and has for the past 20 years. He said he's bounced around between middle school and a couple other school districts, but he likes the position where he's at now and what he's able to do. So much so that he was in it for 23 years, and he jokingly says, "Yeah, they're going to try to get rid of me, but I'll still be here coaching." Mr. G said he writes referrals when behaviors are continuing after multiple redirections, and that's when he sends kids out to the hallway too, when they're not able to process with him. But then he also said, follows it up with, "I'm go out and check with them. I don't send them out and just ignore them. I go out and check with them after 5 minutes, and if they still need time to calm down, give it 5 minutes more. And then I make sure I'm not the problem, and I usually call to see if someone else can talk with the student to process." I asked Mr. G if he tries to change how he handles behaviors, and he said, "Not really. I've just always learned you just have to make yourself human to your students and keep an open dialogue with them." And he said coaching has helped him a lot in this because he's coached multiple sports and both boys and girls at multiple levels. So he knows most of the students who he has in his classroom. So they're able to see him as a coach in and outside of the classroom. And he said that's helped him a lot, which is something I strive to do with my coaching experience. So I feel like that would hopefully help me in the classroom too, that my students are going to be able to see me as more than just a teacher also. When I asked about the trends too, Mr. G said no, it's pretty much all the same behavioral stuff that he's witnessed, but the number and size of, he said, quote unquote, problematic students has increased, which I thought was interesting too, because, and I would be interested in doing more research about the data to see how much more, like, of, is it the same student or how many students are we seeing in the data tracking? But Mr. G also says that with the implementation of the PBIS system, it's been effective in the number of students getting in trouble, but he's still looking for a push, and I am too, for 100% staff involvement in the PBIS system for it to truly work. After these three interviews, I was able to speak with the behavioral specialist at our school, Mr. B. Mr. B is kind of just a role model for a lot of the kids in our school. Being an African-American male, we don't have many minority teachers at our school, so a lot of students look to Mr. B as that positive role model in their life. And Mr. B was a teacher for 5 years before moving to the school district which I work, and this is his first year as a behavioral specialist. And from getting his viewpoint as a behavioral specialist, I thought it was important to me to get a different viewpoint of three white male teachers. So just kind of see what they had to say compared to what a behavioral specialist had to say. And when I was just talking to him, it was more of casual because I see him a lot working with the students that I work with. He said the majority of the students who get sent to his office are sent out because they're being disruptful or for fighting in class. So I asked, "Have you seen any trends or anything like with how teachers have changed?" And he goes, "The teachers are pretty established in what they're going to do early on in their careers." But I asked, "So then what practices would you suggest?" And he said, "You just have to focus on not being caring that if you're liked or not. It's important to be firm and emphasizing reteaching to get expected behaviors. When we go in expecting kids just to know everything, you assume," and he jokingly said, "when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me," which I think is so true. If we expect so much out of students, but we don't spend time teaching what the expected behaviors is. And he said giving options is extremely important too, because you can still guide it, but the students still have a choice. So they think they have somewhat control in the matter, even though you're still guiding them. And Mr. B still thinks that there needs to be more school counselors in buildings in general, because he has seen just a lot of similar things to what one of the interviewees said in regards of depression and anxiety, that a lot of the times that it's just students having a bad day and need to talk with someone, and there's just not enough positive bodies who are trained to help students in the buildings. When I asked Mr. B about other trends, he said social media has been one of the biggest trends in poor behavior stuff, because there's so much miscommunication that happens because of social media. He gave several examples of just how people just hide behind a screen and it leads to fights and stuff that happen at school when the students end up seeing each other. And he sees this amongst friends and just a ton of different students that you wouldn't even expect. Between these four interviews, I thought they went really well because I learned a lot and I was able to meet more people in the building in which I work and just kind of create and collaborate with them and just bring teaching ideas that I want to bring with me in my classroom. And the way I was able to pick these students, I kind of had an idea of what I wanted to do, but I did ask students also about, hey, who do you think would be a good teacher? When they were giving suggestions, like they gave several, and that's when I decided to focus on kind of three white male veteran teachers, because it was ones that students of all different backgrounds respected, and I thought it would be interesting to get their perspectives and to see if they would change. And then I also wanted to talk with the behavioral specialist, because I thought that would bring in a true different viewpoint. A lot of the teachers too had this similar strategy, such as the check-in, check-out system to begin and end the class, just to kind of see how their students were doing that day, which I thought was really important. And the other thing that was kind of universal is that you need to make yourself human to your students. They need to know who you are, so you're able to know who they are, to really truly identify, to see if they're having a bad day and to get to know them, to be that person that you're able to help. And I think that all boils down to building that classroom climate that's so important that we learned so much about this semester. And I'm going to bring all this with me to when I have my own classroom to help my future students. Thank you.